Joining me on the line is a man who gave me a great love for music when I saw him at the Big Top in Galway back in 1999. But it was shortly before that, David, that things kind of kicked off in Ireland first. And I want to bring you back to a time when Donal Dineen, Donal Scanlon, those boys were in music in Ireland and they set up a gig in Whelan's. There was an introduction by Pat Inglesby. You walked into a room with a massive crowd going, surely this couldn't be my crowd. And it was.
That's right, yeah. It's all true, every word of it true. It's exactly what happened. I've basically been suckered into the old crowd in the room that files out into another gig. You get venues where there's more than one venue in the venue. So when I came through the crowd to get backstage, I was saying, are these people here to see me? And Donal Scanlon was going, they're here to see you, Dave. You know, I was like, whoa, this is like serious. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
there is like a real audience. And then I was nervous, but I sort of couldn't wait, really.
Well, this is off the back of Sell, Sell, Sell in 1996. And, you know, I have to say this to you. That was the start of a beautiful love affair with Ireland in many, many ways. Because when you came over to the Big Top in 1999, you played just after the Afrikel sound system. There were smashed guitars. There was lost sunglasses and a particular shirt too, as well, which were never recovered. There was, you know, which I know, I understand you're still quite upset about. You know, you like that shirt.
The sunglasses, yeah, I was upset about those. Yeah.
Well, was that the same shirt that you played at the new band stage at Glastonbury?
It was, yeah. It was a short sleeve Vivian Westwood number in a sort of electric blue.
Yeah.
So that went missing. It was probably torn to shreds by the ravenous hordes. That was some night. That was. I mean, that was a night that changed all of us on the stage forever. I think there was such an electric atmosphere. We knew that things were happening, but that sort of jolted us into a reality that this is getting really serious now. This is mad stuff that the brain can't really process. It's not just people clapping and shouting stuff. This is people going nuts. And it's like we felt like pop stars, you know.
No, it was amazing. It was amazing. I can say it because I was one of the lucky people that was there. And
great.
When we spoke in 2016, I said to you, look, come here, is there any chance, do you know, the 20th anniversary tour, is it going to happen? And you are a man of your word, my friend. You are going to be here in Ireland in the Three Arena on April the 2nd, the 3rd, the 4th. Not only that, you're going to be in other voices in Ballina this weekend. And there's an Irish Independent Park gig just after it's been announced on June 20th as well. Oh, I am delighted David Gray is down to earth and grounded and sticks to his word. I'm so thrilled over this. And if that's not enough, the 20th anniversary edition of White Ladder is out now.
That's right. Yeah, it's been remastered and sort of put back together. So it's been quite a journey to go through all that. It's also there's a deluxe thing which has got all the sort of outtakes and some of the demos. Most of the songs don't have demos because the demo was the recording that we put on the record. It all kind of came together at that moment. But there's a few bits and pieces, and listening back to all this stuff, sadly a few things were corrupted by time. You know, the old technology had failed us. So there were some nuggets that were just unusable. But listening back to all that stuff, it was such a journey back into that room in my house where we made it.
Yeah, can we go back in time? Can we hop on the DeLorean and go back in time? So Stoke Newington in London, Phil Hartnell from Orbital gives you a mixing desk. And he recommends a Roland Groovebox drum machine. And he says, this is what you got to do. And you're then at a dinner party and you kind of secret yourself away and you're listening with the Roland Groovebox drum machine. And you literally, in that space of time, wrote Please Forgive Me. And that's the starting point. That's it.
I think that was when the sort of pistol shot was fired that seemed to mark the beginning of the White Ladder chapter.
Wow.
Because we'd been waiting for a kind of music that said something about the now, not just like quoted our influences from the 1960s and 70s. It was something we wanted to make a music that was a hybrid form that said something about living in the 90s, you know. So it was trying to find the room within the music that these other sounds could grow and the means of getting them in there. And suddenly with Please Forgive Me in one fell swoop, that door just swung open. And when I played Clune the song, he just knew exactly what to do with it. And it was one thing putting a double time rhythm underneath it, but it was when he said, "Oh, let's put a house bass on it." I mean, that was the cat amongst the pigeons moment, and it was like I was like, "Okay," and we put the bass line in and sequenced it through the song, and then it was like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah, this is it, this is what we've been waiting for. We've started, something started." So that was the beginning.
Oh, wow. And I love this because there's some people out there, now the anoraks like me will know this, but other people don't know this, that there's even, this is the beauty of this, right? There's parts in Babylon where you can hear a car passing outside, you know, the Hackney Works are on, the whole lot, right? Okay. But what even makes this more special, David, is that this is the UK's 26th best-selling album of all time. And you, my friend, defined the boundaries by doing it in a cursed Jesus bedroom.
Yeah, well, I think there's not many records in the top whatever that were self-funded and home recorded, you know. And also, you know, we set off, our marketing budget was zero, you know. We just basically pressed up the album, 5,000 copies, which we released in November of 98 in Ireland. But we didn't really have a plan for beyond that. But what happened was we sold those 5,000, then we pressed up another 5, then another 10, and on it went. And the money from that, and then we started to sort of try and get onto the radio. And after a little while, people gave it a chance, and it started to get some proper airplay in Ireland. And then things got really serious. So it was it's not many things that have come from completely from zero and managed to get up that high. And it still feels a bit like a kind of outsider project. I've never really wanted to be part of the mainstream in that sort of corporate sense, and it still feels like we sit just outside that. This is something slightly different. It's a people thing.
Yeah, and I like it because, you know, there has been 7 albums since, and, you know, even your last work there, Golden and Brass Age, is fabulous. And you know, it's when you look at all these works and you're kind of going, right, this one is, okay, Wild Art is a standalone thing. So it's quite strange for me to see that David Gray is doing an anniversary tour, because David Gray is quite a young man. You know, it's kind of, this is, and I think that's a tribute and an honour to you and to Clune and to Paulson, to all the gang. Do you know what I mean? It really, really was just one of those works. I want to kind of focus for a minute too as well on some of the people that tell their stories about this. I mean, if you go to your YouTube page, you can see White Lighter Stories featuring the likes of Ed Sheeran and John Mayer. And if we just have a listen for a minute, this is actually Ed Sheeran chatting about White Lighter. Have a listen.
It reminds me of my father, and I kind of have a very strong bond with the album because of that. I actually, last summer, entire day where I was in Ibiza at James Blunt's house, and he has like outdoor bedding area with these speakers, and I think he was off doing something with my wife and his wife, and I was you know, just like, what am I going to do with my day? And I just put on White Ladder on repeat and just listened to it again and again and again, and just got quite emotional.
I absolutely love when I hear Ed talking like that about the album, because that's the way I would talk about the album, but also when John Mayer talks about it. And it's kind of like, without knowing it, it has actually given support to other artists out there to kind of go forward and do the singer-songwriter thing, because not too many people were brave enough to do it when you emerged at that.
Well, there were plenty of people trying to. It was, I think there's two different things. There's the incentive it gives to other creative people that it can be done. You can break through, you know. But then there's the difference it makes to the media itself and the perception of that kind of music suddenly by the industry, and that green lights the different projects as being possible within the sort of world of commercial music, whereas before they'd just be looked as something that couldn't succeed in the current musical climate. And obviously it's been taken to extremes by Ed, who has sort of carried the whole thing beyond it. I mean, I think we're going to have to explore space so that he can find some new fans, because there's none left on planet Earth.
Oh, I don't know, David. Do we not say that imitation is the highest form of compliment? He didn't get it from the ground, my friend. But I want to say this to you as well, because some of our listeners know this, some of them won't. You are a phenomenal artist, and you've always had that art vein. I mean, in fairness, your parents, when you moved to Salva, they had college clothes, and I know you still make your own jam as well, but even when I watched Entire Likely a couple of years ago, I could see this Jackson Pollock edge come out in you, you know, with the industrial enamel paint and the watering things down and throwing them out. And I just, are you still at that crack?
Well, I'm actually itching to get back into the painting game, so that's an itch I'm going to have to scratch. It's sort of starting to drive me a bit mad, so I've still got all those ridiculous industrial paints. I've got gallons of gallons of the stuff.
I love this because there was a story that you told me about how, like, the only people that buy these paints are people who do up old tractors and JCBs, and you end up with them JCB yellow.
I was sort of tripping after a day of using that stuff because it's got sort of skulls and crossbones on the side, you know. Yeah, it's for painting JCBs and what have you. You have things like JCB yellow, you know, that is a colour.
Oh wow!
And I've got all these pots of paint, so I didn't use even a fraction of it. I've got a ton of all that stuff. Not that I think I'm going to be getting hard into the enamel paint again, but I'd like to get back to the painting. Yeah. I really would. I think after this tour, you know, it's going to be a kind of creative new chapter for me. You know, this feels like a moment of acceptance and turning around and celebration. But beyond this, I'm seeing green creative pastures opening up for me where I can just follow my own capricious mood this way or that.
I'm loving that, David. And I'm delighted to hear it because you know something, you've made a phenomenal contribution to the music industry over the years. I'm laughing away to myself here because I'm just thinking about you and the chemicals that you're working with when you're doing the painting. And then I'm thinking about back when you did the drums for Some of White Ladder. It was actually in a photographer's studio where there was a bang of chemicals as well. So it's like that line, chemicals are running through my bloodstream, is just going to be there.
Well, they probably were to some extent. Yeah, I recorded the vocal for Silver Lining, and I think some of the backing vocals in the actual developing room with all the fixative and developer, and it did absolutely reek. So that was all part and parcel of it. We were very lucky to have people who allowed us to set up and, you know, make a racket for a week or so.
I'm loving that. Well, listen, David, it has been a pleasure having you on. People can check you out at Other Voices this weekend if they missed that in the Three Arena in Dublin, April the 2nd, 3rd and 4th. And, of course, Irish Independent Park in Cork on June the 20th. And, David, next time you're over, you're more than welcome to come in for a session. We've always loved to have you in here.
Thank you.